goal of this podcast is to help you break in and thrive in advertising. And we do that every single week by sharing the stories and advice of those rocking it on the other side. And welcome back to Adjunct. This is a segment where we interview the best advertising educators across the country. We understand that not everybody can afford to go to undergraduate college, or if you do, you might not have an advertising or strategic brand communications program or marketing. Maybe you're not studying it. So this is our effort to give you a free masterclass education in about 40 minutes. And today you will learn from Dr. Karen Freeberg. Dr. Karen Freeberg shares her experiences as a professor in strategic communications at the University of Louisville. She highlights her approach to teaching and her role in managing a student-run StratCom agency. I love professors that lead this. That's how you know they're super passionate and dedicated. But I love how she discusses how she focuses on bridging the gap between academia and the industry, and why she champions her students to take ownership of their learning. And we see this often, two different buckets, PhD versus industry professionals that enter academia. And Dr. Karen Freeberg is the perfect hybrid. She shares examples of how her students have benefited from personal branding and real-world experience, including opportunities to work with esteemed companies and high-profile events. So you're going to want to connect with Dr. Karen Freeberg. To do that, you can check out the description. We should have her LinkedIn there. She's very easy to find online, which is good. But also, I'm doing this thing where if you leave a nice review, written review on Apple Podcasts and 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, then reach out to me on LinkedIn. My name is Gino Schellenberger. I'm happy to try to connect you with Karen, or really any of the past guests we've had on. While I can't guarantee that I can make a connection, I can certainly try to get your name out there. So now on with the show. This is the Breaking and Entering Advertising Podcast Adjunct Edition. And as usual, I'm your accomplice, Gino Schellenberger. Kick it, Mikey. Right. Karen Freeberg, Dr. Karen Freeberg. I know you told me just not to call you that, but I always like to celebrate those that get their doctoral degree. So welcome to Adjunct. Welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Gino. It's an honor to be here and be part of the show.
We haven't done an adjunct episode in a while, so I'm excited to get this thing back into action. And for the listeners out there, for clarification, you know, I like to interview the best educators out there in the undergraduate system. If you're not studying advertising, PR, communications, these episodes are especially beneficial to see like what you guys are teaching and talking about. So Karen, tell us about you. Where do you teach? What do you teach? Where are you at? Give us the rundown.
Absolutely. So I'm actually a few hours south of you from Chicago. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky, home of bourbon, fried chicken, and the Kentucky Derby, amongst things. So I am a professor in strategic communications at the University of Louisville, and it has taken me 12 years to pronounce that correctly. I'm originally from California. And I teach in our strategic communication sequence, which is everything from our intro to strategic communications to social media, PR in crisis. So I very much pride myself as being an applied researcher and professor, because I feel it's very important to bridge the gap between academia and industry. That's kind of been like my North Star. So when I'm not teaching, I am also consulting, writing textbooks, and also managing a student-run strategic communications agency called The Bird's Nest.
So cool, because I feel like the stereotype is you have the researchers and then you have the industry folks. So I love that you're kind of blurring the lines between the two, consulting, running that student agency. To me, that's like a dream scenario that we don't see very often on this show. And I travel around a lot, and it's usually like you fall into one of those two buckets. So I applaud you on your work.
Thank you, Dino. Yeah, it's actually been a very interesting journey, because when I was going through school, my educational journey really, I feel, was very unique in a way. But I look back and each of my schools that I got my degrees from really helped me become the professor I am today. So I actually did my undergraduate at the University of Florida. So yeah. I grew up in California, but then I ended up at Florida because I have another characteristic that was a big part of my life for 10 years. I was a student athlete. So I competed in track and field, threw things for a living. I was a shot putter. Yeah. So I got a full scholarship. Yeah.
You were pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I ended up, you know, doing well. I ended up being a four-time All-American. I was a two-time SEC champion. I was at the Olympic finals in 2004, so 20 years ago, which puts me, you know, in an elderly millennial kind of state with my students. But so that was what I did for basically my undergrad and then a year in my grad program at the University of Southern California.
Gotcha. What did you study as an athlete at University of Florida?
Public relations. Well, I actually thought I would actually go into pre-med because I love science, but that really didn't work out for me. And then I switched to psychology with a business minor, and it was actually my academic athletic advisor, because in student athletes have an academic advisor for their college and major, and then they also have an academic advisor. And I actually did kind of PR work before I even knew what it was in high school. I actually developed my own website and had a newsletter and almost like mini blogs, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, to kind of promote myself, because I grew up in a very small town in California where I thought, okay, I need to let college coaches know I'm here, because that was not like the stone age of the internet, but to my students it is. So I basically was doing that, but I didn't really think that was an actual career until my advisor in the athletic department at Florida saw that and was like, Karen, you need to be in PR. And I asked her, one, is that a real major? And two, what is it? And I took my first PR intro class at Florida. And I didn't know at the time that they have one of the top PR programs. And so it was like a blessing in disguise. And I fell in love with the field ever since. And so all my degrees are in public relations. So I did my master's at Southern California in strategic public relations and my PhD at the University of Tennessee, my primary area was in public relations, but my cognate area was in marketing. So I feel like every program built up to where I'm at today as a professor, building me a foundation, bringing the practice, and then the research.
I think just going back to the first part of the story, that you started to PR yourself. Mm-hmm. And that was to get coaches in the collegiate level to notice you and give you a scholarship. And it worked, right?
Yes.
Because you were good, but then also you have to be found.
Yeah. But, you know, even it's surprising, Gina, how things have changed. Like when I started off, like not many athletes were doing that. And there was a lot of people thinking, oh, you're self-aggrandizing, you're promoting yourself, you're being too promotional with your content.
Yeah.
But it really helped me solidify and separate myself from the other athletes. Cause I actually had one coach, I remember in college, I was coming back from one of the track and field meets. I was sitting with him on the plane and I was competing with Olympians, basically. Like I was good, but not like breaking NCAA records or anything, or going to the Olympics. But
yeah, but you were up there. Yeah.
Yeah. I was decent. I ended up in the top 10 in the US, which is not bad, but
that's awesome.
Doesn't pay the bills though in track. But he said, Karen, you know, like some people are going to come for this particular athlete who was breaking all the records at the time because she's good. She's breaking records. But he said something that was very powerful for me that resonated with me in terms of like taking me into what I'm interested in now with personal branding with my students. And I talk about this and consult on this across the board. He said, Karen, people are coming to these meets to see you because of they can get to know you through your writing, through your pictures, your newsletter, your website. And that just kind of stuck out at me. I'm like, wow, no, that's really cool that people have that connection of marketing yourself and how that really kind of builds up that presence and that separation. And so that really, I mean, being a track and field athlete, both in high school and college, taught me so many real world experiences and skill sets that I use today, like how to make sure you don't say anything negative about your competitor to the media, because the media always wants to find a story. So my media training started very early on. So that helped me out in my PR work and consulting too.
Oh, this is fantastic. But I think the lessons as well, now it's expected that you have to like PR yourself, and
yes,
you, every student, whether you're an athlete with NIL, which I don't know much about, and I don't want to steer the conversation that way, but if you're trying to get a job in advertising and public relations, communications, strategic communications, you really do have to stand out and catch attention. And I feel like, some of the students feel like that their portfolio does that on their own. I don't think that's the case anymore. Like, there's a lot of great portfolios out there, but mm-hmm. you still need to stand out by who you are, yeah. what you're doing on LinkedIn, whether it's a passion project or not. And for me, that was the podcast. And I felt this sort of sense of self-promotion, and I was nervous about that too. So I guess, what are your views on all of this, and what is your advice?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have in every class several course meetings dedicated just to personal branding, whether it's my intro class to my graduate level. And it's a big part of what I cover and kind of build in within the culture of our student agency, the Bird's Nest. I tell my students, you have to be your best advocate and spokesperson. You are your most important client. No one knows your story more than yourself, and you need to take the initiative to let people know what you have to offer. And what I really like about the students that I have at the University of Louisville, Gino, is that they're very hardworking and very dedicated, but very creative. But they just kind of need that reassurance and support and kind of mentorship. And I would say coaching. Like, I view myself as a professor, but I also see myself as a coach, kind of there along the way, like guiding them, saying, this is, you know, what I would think. Like, because I don't want to tell them, oh, this is only one path you can go to advertising PR, where we know that the field is dramatically changing and how they might be in a position later on in their life where it's not even invented. Like, I look at where I was studying at Florida, and we were just talking about MySpace during that time, which I'm dating myself a little bit, but I would have never imagined I'd be in a field being known in social media or strategic communications that wasn't even really a thing when I was in school. So there's, the possibilities are endless, but I tell the students to basically show that they have a human side to their portfolio. Like, everyone has a portfolio, but they also want to see the person behind the screen, behind the work. What are their interests? What are their passions? What are their drives? But also, what is their potential down the line? Like, I've seen portfolios and resumes. I'm like, well, this is good. You're satisfied now with what you're doing. What are you going to do next? And I tell my students, I love quoting from Pixar movies. I'm a big Pixar movie fan. So I mm-hmm. feel like times that I'm the restaurant review critic, Anton Ego and Ratatouille. I'm like, what does the student have that's new? What do you have that is going to be solidifying yourself as somewhat different and unique that no one else is doing right now? And so I have the students do those various exercises to kind of like figure out. And some of them have said, Dr. Fieber, I didn't know that you were going to look into my soul with this exercise. But I'm like, you need to have that self-reflection to kind of see where you are in the marketplace compared to other students, other professionals. So it's very important, as you said, it's important to kind of have that understanding of personal branding, because it is something of an expectation now.
And I'll give an example, and then I would love to hear an example. And if you feel comfortable,
yeah.
A student reached out to me, and I'll leave the person's name out of this. I go, what job do you want? This person goes, I want to be in art direction or maybe design. I'm like, okay, do you have a portfolio? How's it looking? She's like, she's working on it. Great. You know, the fundamentals there. Get that. Good. And then I was like, what else though? What else makes you like get up in the morning? What are you really passionate about? The student then said to me, loves cooking. And we kind of brainstormed, like, that's interesting. What can we do with somebody that is a designer, art director, loves cooking? How can we be creative, stand out, tap into your passion, showcase your skill set in addition to the fundamentals of your portfolio? And we ended up talking, we came to this idea together, and she was really passionate about it. And we came up with the idea to create a cookbook per agency that she wants to work for, bespoke, designed to that agency. So Gut in Miami could be an agency that you could do a lot of play with that, and looking into the people that work there and designing this cookbook based off recipes that resonate with individuals and leadership there. And she loved that idea. So she's going to be working on some sort of concept like that in addition. And she started, you know, she's relatively young, I think maybe a sophomore. So she's got this time, this North Star. So that's where she's going to be putting her passions towards, this like cookbook networking project, which I thought was really cool. And to me, if I got a binded, printed, published, maybe not published, but like a physical cookbook that said, "Gina, here's Gina's recipe at Havas Chicago," and it's pasta, because I'm Italian, so I grew up, and it kind of resonated with whatever tailored to me, I'm hiring that person. So that was one example. Is there one that maybe kind of like top of your head where you're tapping into individuals' passion points, or like those activities that one stands out? I'm sure there's quite a few, but any of those you can pull up?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's been something like, you know, I actually have one example that it's a few years old, but like it really kind of shows that anything is possible, and, you know, like you just need to show the initiative. So years ago, we have an undergraduate program and a graduate program. And our graduate program director said, "Karen, I have a new student for you who really is interested in your area," because I do a lot of work in social media. And with my background in sports, I don't teach any sports communication classes, but I integrate, you know, some client work and stuff. I mean, obviously with the Derby. So I met this student, her name is Samantha. And she came in and I asked her point blank. I'm like, because I asked this question to all my students, like, what is your dream job? What's your passion? Like, where is kind of the place that you see yourself, you know, after graduation? And she was like, so quick to say Adidas. And we're a big Adidas school at the University of Louisville. But she gave me this whole kind of like story saying, I had the picture of, you know, David Beckham with Adidas and this, you know, quote that he had, and it really resonated me. It was passionate for me. It was kind of like what I did for a student, being a student athlete in soccer, and kind of like into my design, and really got me into the field. I was very passionate. So she was like taking that, but she kind of paused a little bit, like, I don't know if that's too big. And I'm like, there is no big, you know, in my opinion. Like, if you want to go do that, here's the things that you want to do. So I always felt that I was coaching and pushing her to those, you know, specific goals. And there were times where I thought, I'm kind of like a nice Miranda Priestley in many ways. I would give her tasks thinking, okay, like this is going to be good for you to take advantage of, but it is not impossible, but, you know, challenging. She would always do them. And so as a result, she was able to be part of our athletic team, be part of like being an Adidas intern. Her first job after graduation was helping out social media for the Olympics in Rio for Team USA. And then she was able to share her journey actually on social media, connect with people on Twitter, X, well, now it's X at the time. And people were kind of seeing like, okay, this person is really passionate, not just about sports, but also about female athletes. And so she was able to get the job at Adidas, and she was part of launching the team Adidas brand for volleyball, but also the Billie Jean King, you know, anniversary, you know, of
nice
trying to win. And so it really kind of tied in like all full circle. And now she's in Germany heading up social media partnerships.
Oh my goodness. Don't you love stories like that? Like,
I do. Yeah. And it's not even 10 years. It's not even 10 years since that. So he's like global head, you know. So for me, it's been fun to see, because I tell the students, you're on the award stand, getting the medals, getting the praise. I'm here as a cheerleader. Like, I'm not getting bonuses, you know, as a professor. It's the reward of seeing students succeed and fill in their dreams. That's priceless to me.
Of course. Of course. And congrats to her and to you for, you know, coaching her. So I'm giving you your flowers. You deserve too. So, but I think the lesson there for students listening, you need to have that idea. You need to have that North Star. And the purpose of this podcast, is really to mitigate the need for higher education when it comes to like portfolio schools. And we do that by illuminating the different career paths and like talking about what the lives look like within these current roles. Like, you need to nerd up and have that idea, because you don't want to be a senior and graduating in the spring and still have no clue. Yeah. Like, and it happens. I get that. But that scares me. I feel like we need to do a job to at least showcase the different routes you can entertain.
I agree 100%, Gino. And like another example of a current student that I have, she's a rock star. And I keep telling her she is a rock star. And I think sometimes students need to know, like, to be encouraged, you know, to like be able to be thinking outside of the box and everything. And I'm going to share another story, actually, of someone who really, I think, has really transformed and is going to be, I think, a leading force in the industry. Her name is JC Wells, and she's a rock star. I keep
JC Wells.
JC Wells, yes. So I met her when she was a freshman, and she was in my social media class, and this was before our student agency. And she, you know, we had the opportunity to bring students to help out as part of the content team for the Kentucky Derby. So my students have, for the past, I think, 10 plus years now, have been part of the social media team for the Kentucky Derby. Yeah, so she came to me. She was like, you know, Dr. Freeberg, I'm a freshman. I don't know if, you know, she had like brilliant ideas, Gina. She was very creative, very strategic. She was very firm, you know, even as a freshman, you know, where she stood. And she just was concerned, like, well, I'm a freshman. I'm not a senior like the other students who are a part of.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you got the idea, speak up.
Yeah. And so she did. I told her, I said, just because you're young doesn't mean, you know, you don't have a lot to offer. And so I encouraged her. So she applied, she got the internship. So this will be, not only was she a founder of our student agency, she's really taken a strong leadership in terms of building something special here at the University of Louisville. But this will be her third time that she's worked the Kentucky Derby on the team, which I told her, I said, not many people can say that, you know, so she's going to, like, by the time she graduates, her portfolio is going to be pretty impressive. So she's grown. And so I'm that's a current example of someone that I think is really, you know, going to be a good person to kind of watch. But it all took about, like, if you have the initiative, you have the ideas, you have the dedication, you can accomplish anything.
And to reassure, to kind of like confirm this all, in agencies, there's a lot of open briefs that they'll accept ideas from anybody, literally anybody. Finance team can submit ideas. If it's a big pitch or a big, like, let's say a Super Bowl, like, they don't care who's coming up with it. They want to see as many ideas as possible, and that can come from anywhere. I've submitted some ideas, hasn't gotten picked, but I still tried.
Not yet. There will be. It's not if they will get, it's when they will be picked.
That's right. That's right. Although I don't, you know, all this advertising stuff, I don't love making ads that much. I more so like to review them and talk with people that made them, sharing the stories. Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm a little burnt out after all these weeks of talking about it. It's like if you work in an ice cream shop and you kind of get tired of ice cream, or like you heard that before.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's my internal battle right now.
No, I agree with you. Like, I feel that I like, and the aspect of strategic communication that I like is like the planning, like the campaigns, and coming up with like a big idea and say, ooh, we could do this. And I love being able to kind of bounce around the creative side of that. And just, that's always kind of been like the place that I really love kind of thriving, bouncing ideas with students, you know, clients and classroom activities. It's just, it's a lot of fun because I feel it's important for the students to see creativity in place, because sometimes my students are right now looking for the right answer. Like, oh, there's only one way to do this campaign, and there's really not. And so I feel with the students, like I'm all about like throwing things up in the wall that seem absolutely crazy, but we've seen some crazy things in the industry with partnerships and
campaigns
and collaborations. So anything is possible if it makes sense.
Tell me about the student agency. I love that stuff. I was in my student agency in college, and I talked to a lot of student agencies across the country. How does yours work? What's the framing? Give me the rundown. Real client spec work, award show focus. What makes your, is it for credit? Mm-hmm. How does it work at Louisville?
Yeah, absolutely. So this has been a passion project of mine for a long time. And I'm going to blame, like you said, that you have Italian genes. I'm going to blame my Swedish genes for being persistent and stubborn, you know. So I wanted to have a student agency for the longest time. And finally, we got the green light.
Is it crazy how long it takes?
It takes academia? Oh, yeah. I mean, I joke with my friends all the time, like, we are like moving at a rapid pace in higher ed, and they kind of do this puppy head tilt, like, really? I'm like, no, I'm being sarcastic. I'm making a joke. But what happened to us is we got the green light in February of 2020 and COVID happened. So we were sidelined for about a year.
Okay. Well, external variable there.
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah. But we got the green light in spring of 2022. So I brought four students on board to really be founders. And the task that I actually had for them at this point was, like, I gave them basically a brief. I said, okay, what we want to do is student agency. But if it's going to be a student-run student agency, I wanted their input. Like, what's the logo going to be like? What are the brand values? What are the pillars? What's going to be the organizational framework? But they had to do research. They had to kind of look at other student agencies. And so they came back to me that summer and said, okay, we have a name, we have a logo. And I'm like, well, thank God, because I can draw a stick figure, you know, and we're Cardinals. And so I thought our logo would be a stick figure with wings. That would be my contribution. Hey. It is so much better than that. But they basically framed it out. They basically looked at it. And I asked them, like, I want this to be a place that students, professional, and the community would be, like, so excited about. And they said one of the universal things that they saw in their research with student agencies is they're like, well, they say they're student-run agencies, but you could tell that, like, everything is run by a professor or someone else.
Hired.
Yeah.
Sometimes they hire, like, a specific administrator to run. That's not even teaching.
Yeah. So I kind of basically flipped this switch. I'm like, okay, that's not going to be us. I'm going to be there, you know, and the way that we're framework is we have six different teams, but we've coordinated to kind of be like a social first agency when it comes to strategic communication. So we have a director of content, director of research, strategy, PR comms, but we're also taking the approach of all the directors are kind of like King Arthur's court in Camelot. Like we all have an equal like voice. So I tell the students, like, I'm working with you, not dictating down to you. I mean, there is that line of being a professor and, you know, student, whatever. But I also want to give them the reassurance and opportunity and experience to have those managerial, you know, conversations, to lead teams, work on client work, and have decisions that kind of frame the agency because they need that experience. But I also wanted to give students the experience, Gino, of having things that other student agencies want, you know? So when I talked about my framework at other places, they're like, Karen, you know, you're giving a lot of freedom, creative freedom to these students. I'm like, well, this is a generation that is thriving on that. They want to take action. They want to own something. So we need to encourage that. So we basically launched in fall of 2022 for students. We didn't take any clients. We kind of were building that foundation of kind of using the agency as a client. We had 15 students the following spring last year and spring of 2023. So we had about six or so clients. You know, we had everything from the Kentucky Derby. We had some startups. We had some user-generated content. We had a chance to work with Gary Vaynerchuk and VCon in Indianapolis. So on the media side, that was tremendous. Maha and her team at Digital and Savvy were fantastic. And then last fall, we had, again, about eight, nine clients. 23 students. And so now this semester, we have 13 clients, 32 students, and there's already students, you know, freshmen, incoming freshmen at the University of Louisville who want to come and join us. And so we are working with the U.S. Army down in Fort Knox. We're working with GE Appliances. We've worked with Brown-Forman, of course, Kentucky Derby, but then we've also done some startups and nonprofits. So we have a wide range in terms of client breadth. But that's one of the cool things that we have about the community here in Louisville is we have a vibrant advertising PR field. We have industry partners who are looking for the future of talent and they're supporting us externally, you know, with that. So it's been exciting.
Incredible. I applaud. Those are some insane, awesome clients. I'm pumped for that. That sounds amazing. I'm sure they're getting some great work. Good experience communicating to for the account leads there. Anybody just all around. I get worried sometimes with like the local, like I ran a local agency like that for my ad club and the clients were not big. So all the account leads got really great experience. Like they were fine. But the creatives were kind of like they had weak portfolios because the work was weak. It was coupons for local coffee shops. So I get nervous when the agency is client led and there's no room for spec work. But your solution there is, well, have some really great clients
Yeah.
And it's working probably.
Yeah. I'm assuming. Absolutely. Well, I mean, I'm grateful. Like, I'm going to give a we have tremendous clients. And I think what's been very cool for the students to see, too, see their ideas come up in action. Like, case in point, a lot of people think of Churchill Downs and of obviously the Kentucky Derby. That's an iconic, historic, you know, global premier event. But Churchill Downs also has various other races throughout the year, like fall races, spring races. But they actually had this night race kind of sequence. They had three races that they held at night, but it was more to kind of focus about the entertainment aspect of Churchill Downs versus like the actual racing. You can still gamble, but there was more entertainment factors like music. So they came to us for the Bird's Nest, and they were like, we need to attract the younger generation, Gen Z and millennials. How do we go about doing it? And they would have themes. They would have themes and activations, et cetera. So that was what the students had to do last year, is they had to come up with themes based on what would resonate and attract millennials and Gen Z to come to Churchill Downs versus any other place in Louisville, because they were competing with concerts, other activities, et cetera. So they came up with two theme events. One was kind of a Nashville theme night in September, but then in May, shortly after the Derby, they actually had a streetwear, like sneakers theme.
Nice.
Yeah. So like they came up with the activation ideas. They had the whole plan of like who to bring in terms of influencers, you know, what could be activated. And so Churchill Downs like basically said, okay, we're taking these ideas. We want to implement them with you. Like, let's go. And so they had like very good numbers with those events. And so they realized, oh, like this is great for us to partner with the university, because we're getting fresh ideas, we're getting insights into the current audience we're trying to reach, but it gives the students and their benefit of fostering the future talent and giving them, as you said, Gina, like this portfolio of work that they can say, we did this.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
Win-win when you brief them correctly, like, mm-hmm. like they did, and they're open to working with them. I think, yeah. Like that was the perfect scope, perfect brief for the students, and mm-hmm. they crushed it, I'm assuming. And like you alluded to, can I ask this? I can scrap this out. You let me know. Do you guys like bill them?
So that's a great question. So what we do as part of the agency is we do have some paying clients where they do provide us with fees or they give a gift to the university. So we
to
do
go
that.
Into the club potentially and like
yes, yeah, everything that I mean, I've basically any kind of financial support that we get from you know the students goes directly to the students. I tell them I don't get a dime. You know, basically this is all for the students. So, but there are some startups that we have and nonprofits where we do pro bono, obviously. So I would say right now we have basically half and half, half paying, half pro bono, because we do have a great startup community, but we also have a couple of nonprofits that we're working at. But the thing that we're also doing too is a lot of, I think you mentioned kind of the framework. We do have opportunities for students to do their internship or practicum as part of the Bird's Nest. So the only thing that they would need to be doing is kind of leading on a project. So we have this case in point, we have this awesome, we have a couple of really great clients that are basically students who are doing their practicum or, you know, working on. So Dorian is working on managing an event that we're hosting in April at the University of Louisville called the Summit for Inclusive Excellence. So we're working with Daryl Griffith, who's an iconic basketball player and doing some great work for the university and community engagement. So Darian is working with him on kind of managing the event, kind of branding, marketing, et cetera. So that's great experience from a capstone kind of class. And then Alexi is working on actually a startup for menstrual products. It's a startup, like it's a startup called Bestie Box, and it's a subscription-based menstrual products. But in terms of helping out with social media content, branding, content.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then we have another student, Julie, who's doing it, her project on marketing and rebranding for a bubble tea location, you know, that has several stores here. So I mean, they're getting like leadership experience, but they're taking a project and be like, okay, I'm making a real impact in real life, applying what I'm learning from the classroom into the real world with able ability to measure and evaluate how successful they are.
Amazing. I think everybody should kind of take notes here, and like if your university offers something like this, check it out. If they don't, transfer to Louisville.
Well, what we're trying to do too, Gino, is honestly, my journey in terms of building this student agency has been very interesting because I feel like I've kind of had to be by myself and kind of working with the students on this. And I mean this because I know at least in the PR field for some of the student agencies, I've reached out to a few people and I got no responses for help. And so I'm like, well, it's kind of been a blessing in many ways because it made me, you know, kind of create something from, you know, the scratch, but it also proved to me, well, that's not what I want to do. So we're actually building out a playbook where we're going to share with anyone who wants to build a student agency like we have at Louisville. We want to be able to provide that resource because at the end of the day, the goal here is to help all students in our field. And we need to kind of be more collaborative. And that's just, you know, my two cents and our mentality going forward.
Yeah. Spread the wealth. I mean, there's no reason that every school that has strategic communications marketing mm-hmm. should have something like this. And they can adapt their playbook to what might fit their specific needs or styles. And the location, the city might have something to do with that too. But I love that. You're spreading that out. So you're doing everything right. I think that's incredible. I would love to talk with JC.
Mm-hmm. JC, yes.
And I would love to maybe get Breaking and Entering on as a client there. So
there you go. Yeah, that can be awesome.
Need some help. And what if they want to start up their own podcast, like a brand team that promotes the agency, I can teach them how to do podcasting too.
That has been a conversation for the last couple of weeks. We're actually working with one client on kind of a podcast theme, kind of like pushing forward. And we have a couple of individuals on our board of advisors who have podcasts, and we've had students that are like, I want to learn, I want to do, because that is the medium that all of my students love, trust, listen to across the board.
No, it's good to hear. It's good to know. I haven't done a lot of research in a while. I just knew that I listened to them all the time in college. It helped me get my first job. A quick, people know this that listen a lot, but my first job was at Edelman, and I got this immersion rotational program, which is really hard to get. This is right before the pandemic, and I got it pretty much because I listened to Richard Edelman speak on a podcast that's no longer in existence, but I listened to him speak probably to that podcast like 10 times on repeat. And I kind of just regurgitated on the interviews what he said. And like, I learned it and I was able to speak towards it. So like, oh yeah, you know, our entire company vision for the next 5 years. So I love podcasts. So I'm happy to help consult and help whatever. I think you guys should have one. I don't know if you guys are planning that now, but for the actual agency branding.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely something like that has been discussed. Absolutely. Because we do have a studio on campus. And so the students have expressed interest. So
yeah, use the resources that the school has. Like,
yeah,
I'm using the Havas Chicago studio here. Yeah. And it's just because I asked. And they go, yeah, you can use it whenever you want.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that has definitely been something like that the students have wanted because they thought that would be something to give them experience. So one of the other clients that we do technically have is the student agency is a client. So we actually have teams that create various content, you know, across the board. So that we have a couple of students who are dedicated to just our managing our Instagram and TikTok reels because they want to be content creators there. But then I have a student, Reagan, who's very like, she wants to be the queen of LinkedIn. And so I'm like, awesome. You know, so what I've tried to do too is, you know, with student interest, like you mentioned podcast, like I want to make sure that if there's a passion or a drive that gets students like, I want to do this. As a professor, like anytime you can see a student who wants to do additional work that furthers their career and passion, I fully support.
You got to pull it. Yeah. You got to motivate them.
You got to motivate them. Yeah. Because I mean, and with, I have a grad student, Aiko Jones, like she's a volleyball player, but then she's also my GTA, but she's our director of research. She's like, I want to get as much research experience as possible. So I'm like, here's the spreadsheets, here's the dashboards, but it's about bringing opportunities to help the students and their interests, you know, across the board, so then they can have options and be marketable after graduation, because that's very important, especially in this, you know, industry.
Big time. Karen, you're crushing it. And I wish I had you as a professor. Maybe if I get a PhD, I'll do it with you.
There you go. Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, you would be a great professor. And I think you would definitely bring the teaching, the research, the practical aspect. And I feel like we need more people like you, you know, teaching it, you know, kind of bridge all of those areas together. And it's a very rewarding profession. I mean, there's really not many fields that I can see where you get to see the impact that you have. And just, I mean, I don't get to meet parents, obviously, as a professor, unless it's graduation. So for me, it's always fun to see the impact. And my rule of thumb is like, if the students friend me or follow me on TikTok and Instagram, I'm like, okay, I'm doing good. But then when their parents tell me at graduation, oh, like our son or daughter talked about you all the time at the dinner table, I'm like, okay, I've made an impact.
You made an impact.
Yeah. So it's, I would encourage you. Yeah. Teaching is really, you know, going out for a PhD. It's just writing just a big paper.
So, big paper.
Big paper. No big deal.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Karen, how could people contact you if they want to talk with you, learn more about you and what you're maybe get some advice on their career trajectory and get some of that motivation and coaching and like guidance? What's the best way to reach out to you?
Yeah, I'm pretty much everyone on social at K Freeberg, F-R-E-B-E-R-G. My email, I'm pretty much connected to my phone. I think all of us are in this industry. My email is Karen.Freeberg, F-R-E-B-E-R-G, at Louisville.edu. And I'm on everywhere, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, but also TikTok, which surprises my students to this day. So anywhere, I would love to connect in any way, you know, and help. I definitely am very passionate about helping the future generation and other colleagues in whatever their goals are.
Karen, thank you so much. If I'm a student listening to this, I'm reaching out. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to network. Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Gina. It was a pleasure to be here.